Welcome to Below the Surface by the Underwater Solutions Group. Today we examine in-water surveys in lieu of dry docking conducted during commercial port calls. In busy maritime hubs such as Antwerp and Malta, shipowners frequently utilize scheduled cargo operations to complete class-mandated intermediate or renewal inspections afloat. An in-water survey provides classification societies with evidence regarding the structural and mechanical integrity of the underwater hull. This process allows vessel operators to verify class compliance without incurring the immediate operational disruption and expenditure of a shipyard dry docking. The feasibility of an afloat assessment depends on water clarity, hull cleanliness, port authority regulations, and safety isolations. While an in-water survey can satisfy specific class requirements, it remains subject to strict procedural rules defined by major classification societies and national maritime administrations. Evaluating hull plating, appendiceal structures, sea inlet chests, and propulsion units while the vessel is alongside or at anchorage requires precise operational planning. Understanding the boundary between what can be assessed in the water and what strictly requires dry dock facilities is essential for technical managers. This briefing details the required preparatory measures, execution protocols, and reporting standards across European port environments. Successful execution of an in-water survey during a commercial port call relies on rigorous advance planning. Before diver deployment or remote operated vehicle launch, the diving contractor must review the vessel general arrangement, shell expansion plans, and previous survey records. Operational parameters within ports like Antwerp or anchorage zones off Malta dictate strict working windows based on tidal currents, commercial cargo movements, and local water transparency. The vessel must achieve an appropriate ballast condition to optimize access to underwater appendages and sea chest grates while maintaining stable mooring or anchoring. Prior authorization must be secured from the relevant port authority or harbor master, detailing the dive plan, support vessel position, and emergency response procedures. Water visibility plays a decisive role in camera calibration and visual clarity required by class rules. High turbidity may necessitate specialized close-up video equipment or optical clear water boxes attached to camera housings. Diver safety protocols dictate that the vessel must confirm all active suctions, impellers, and thrusters are isolated and locked out before dive operations commence. Early coordination between the technical operator and the dive team ensures that survey preparations align precisely with the vessel port stay schedule. Conducting an in-water survey requires continuous synchronization between the attending classification society surveyor, the shipmaster, chief engineer, local port agent, and the diving supervisor. The class surveyor holds ultimate authority regarding the acceptance of inspection methods and visual evidence. Prior to commencing dive operations, a tripartite briefing is held on board to review the scope of work, safety isolations, and communication channels. The chief engineer must confirm the completion of lockout and tagout procedures for main propulsion, bow and stern thrusters, cathodic protection systems, and underwater sea chests. Diver safety depends entirely on these isolations remaining active throughout the operation. The local port agent coordinates permit approvals with waterway authorities and monitors adjacent vessel traffic that could introduce hydrodynamic risks to the diving team. Direct two-way radio and audio links connect the surface dive supervisor, the attending surveyor, and the diver, allowing real-time direction during the inspection. If a remote-operated vehicle is utilized alongside divers, its operator must maintain clear communication with the dive supervisor to prevent umbilical entanglement. Clear alignment among all parties prevents operational delays and ensures full regulatory compliance during the commercial window. Assessing underwater hull condition requires specialized non-destructive testing equipment and calibrated optical systems. Diver-operated high-definition video cameras featuring two-way audio feed, visual data directly to surface monitors, monitored by the classification surveyor. Surface-controlled lighting systems are adjusted to mitigate reflection and backscatter in turbid harbor waters. Ultrasonic thickness measurement devices are deployed to evaluate steel plate degradation, requiring surface preparation by hydraulic or pneumatic wire brushing to remove marine fouling down to bare metal. Calibration of ultrasonic equipment against test blocks of known thickness is executed on site prior to measurements. where diver access is restricted or hazardous, light-class remote-operated vehicles equipped with multi-beam sonar and high-resolution cameras provide supplementary visual data. Sea chest grates and sea inlet valves are inspected using specialized borescope equipment or compact camera probes inserted through grate bars. Cleaning equipment, including hydraulic rotary brush carts and high-pressure water jetting units, is used selectively to clear fouling from critical areas such as weld seams, propeller blades, and tail shaft seal housings without damaging protective coating systems. All diagnostic tools must satisfy class requirements for accuracy, data logging, and underwater operational safety. The scope of an in-water survey encompasses structural, mechanical, and corrosion prevention components of the submerged hull. Hull plating inspection focuses on identifying mechanical damage, deformation, pitting, weld integrity, and paint coating condition along the bottom and side shell. Propeller assessment includes visual inspection of blade edges, surfaces, and root areas for cavitation, cracking, bending, or biological growth. Rudder assembly examination requires measuring pintle and stock clearances using feeler gauges or wedge gauges to verify wear within class limits. Drainage plugs, securing keys, and alignment marks on the rudder flap are verified visually. Sea chests are examined by removing external grates to inspect internal shell plating, strainers, and sacrificial anodes for wastage. Sacrificial zinc or aluminium anodes attached to the hull and bilge keels are measured to determine remaining mass and operational efficiency. Impressed current cathodic protection anodes and reference cells are visually checked for physical integrity and seal tightness. Bilge keels, docking brackets, and transducer housings are evaluated for structural cracking or impact damage. Findings across these scope areas dictate whether the vessel maintains class notation without condition of class. Although in-water surveys provide comprehensive visual and non-destructive data, specific maintenance tasks remain strictly confined to dry dock facilities. Complete tail shaft withdrawal and stern tube seal replacement cannot be executed afloat due to oil pollution risks and water ingress constraints. Major structural renewals involving extensive shell plate replacement, internal frame repairs, or heavy steel fabrication require a dry environment to ensure structural alignment and welding quality under controlled atmospheric conditions. Internal inspection and overhaul of thruster gearboxes, main sea valves, and complex propulsion pod mechanisms generally demand complete vessel elevation out of the water. Excessive marine growth or severe mechanical damage that prevents accurate clearance measurements or non-destructive testing will invalidate the afloat survey, forcing a dry dock intervention. Furthermore, comprehensive surface preparation and recoating of the underwater hull with anti-fouling systems cannot be accomplished effectively in an immersed state. Classification Society rules mandate maximum allowable intervals between dry dockings, regardless of in-water survey outcomes. When unexpected defects such as deep structural fractures or excessive rudder bearing wear are identified afloat, the attending surveyor will issue a condition of class requiring shipyard repair within a specified time frame. Underwater diving operations in commercial ports involve inherent risks that require strict risk management frameworks. Diver safety during in-water surveys relies on absolute control over vessel machinery and environmental hazards. Lockout and tagout procedures must be formally verified on board, securing main engines, auxiliary power, bow thrusters, and sea suction pumps before any diver enters the water. Differential pressure hazards, commonly known as Delta P, present severe risks near sea chests, discharge outlets, and ballast openings. Divers must maintain safe working distances until isolation valves are confirmed fully closed and secured. Hydrodynamic forces resulting from tidal currents, river flows, or passing vessel traffic in locations such as the Scheldt Estuary or open anchorages off Malta require continuous monitoring. Dive support craft must display international signal flags and light combinations indicating diving operations in progress. Standby divers, emergency breathing gas supplies, and surface recovery equipment must be fully operational on site. Real-time monitoring of water visibility, water temperature, and underwater acoustic communications ensures rapid response to dynamic hazards. Adherence to national commercial diving regulations and international safety guidelines remains non-negotiable across all survey activities. The final phase of an in-water survey involves comprehensive data compilation and formal documentation for Classification Society approval. The diving contractor produces an exhaustive survey report, containing continuous high-definition video recordings, photographic evidence, ultrasonic thickness measurement logs, and measured mechanical clearances. Each finding is cross-referenced with hull frame numbers and vessel structural drawings. The attending class surveyor reviews the compiled documentation on site to confirm that all required scope items have been thoroughly examined. Upon successful verification, the surveyor issues an official survey endorsement, extending or maintaining the vessel class status. If actionable defects are documented, the report provides technical managers with objective data to evaluate whether immediate afloat repairs are feasible or if dry dock scheduling is required. Objective in-water survey findings allow asset owners to optimize dry dock cycles, prioritize capital expenditure, and prevent unbudgeted vessel off-hire time. This concludes our technical briefing on in-water surveys. Asset owners should recognize that disciplined afloat inspections validate structural integrity while identifying the precise boundary where dry docking becomes unavoidable. This episode was produced with AI-assisted scripting and narration and reviewed by Underwater Solutions Group before publication.